Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The host of the DA Show, Damon Amendolaria, and joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. DA, what's going on, man?
What's up, Bill? How you doing?
Well, we're hanging at the Wisconsin State Fair, so cream puffs, cheese curds, brats, and beer. I mean, you can't get much better than that, I guess, right?
Oh, now you're speaking my language. All of those things sound delicious, especially in the middle of the summer. I want all of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I do want to talk some NFL with you. So last night the Packers got a glimpse at some of the younger guys. Obviously Aaron Rodgers and company did not play. But I got to ask you, this defense of Mike Pettine's, we're expecting it, hoping it gets into the top 15. But does this defense and does this franchise need to go out and give out two number ones to pick up Khalil Mack?
Well, that's assuming that Khalil Mack can be had for two number ones. I mean, I know that they're in the middle of a contract holdout right now, that Khalil Mack is trying to play hardball, but I'm not convinced that the Oakland Raiders are ready to give up on Khalil Mack. I think they want him there, and I think that they're just hoping that cooler heads prevail here, because obviously he is the best player on that defense, and it's a team that has playoff designs. It just spent a ton of money on Jon Gruden. So if you could acquire Khalil Mack for two number ones, I certainly would look into it. I certainly would seriously consider it. But I'm not convinced that the Raiders want to sell yet on a guy that has that much upside, is in his physical prime, and can be dominant when he is right.
If you're going to give Jon Gruden $100 million in control of the franchise, why would you not then turn around and take care of Khalil Mack?
That's exactly it. You're going to invest all of that money in Jon Gruden with the assumption that you are ready to win and that you could end up doing some things not only now in Oakland, but as you transition into Las Vegas. And I'm sure that a big part of bringing in Gruden is a way to endear yourself into your new city and to get maybe some casual fans to jump on board, to build some excitement for a new town, to sell luxury suites and sponsorships and seats. So I think that's part of it. But if you're going to invest that much money into your head coach, and you know that just a year ago, before last season, the 2016 season, the Raiders were a playoff team and really could have been dangerous had Derek Carr stayed healthy, it would only make sense to make sure your best defensive player is under contract. So to that point, I'm not sold yet that the Raiders aren't under the inclination that they've got to eventually get a deal done with Khalil.
Looking at the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers back and healthy, looks good in camp. I think he's feeling the window of opportunity beginning to close a little bit on that light at the end of the tunnel. So he lights up some of his younger guys. He doesn't have Jordy Nelson there, but he does have Randall Cobb and Davante Adams. So give me your thoughts on the Packers offensively this year, specifically with the addition of Jimmy Graham as well.
Well, I thought that Aaron Rodgers' frustration the other day at practice was very telling. I mean, he is obviously a perfectionist, and Rodgers has to, like everybody within the Packers organization, understand that the clock is ticking. You know, I talked about on my show extensively how different Tom Brady's career is because he had those three championships right out of the chute when he began as a starter. He wins his first year in 2001 and then stacks on two more in 03 and 04. 4 years as a starter, he had three rings. After that, he went 10 years without a championship. He lost two Super Bowls. He lost multiple AFC championship games. But we didn't say, clock is ticking. He's a loser. Can't get it done. Will he ever get over the hump? Can they get another one? Three championships had cemented his legacy. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is in the middle of that 10-year gap where you had a championship, but you didn't get another. And I think because of that pressure and that stress, everybody within that organization has all of this intensity to have to get it right now, no more so than Aaron personally. So do I think the offense can be good? Well, I think the offense can be great because of Aaron Rodgers. And I think there's enough weaponry there to where they can win, and they can win big. But if I'm the Packers, I'm never sleeping unless I'm constantly trying to get him as many options, as many weapons, as many targets as possible. I would never sleep, and I would just say we have one of the best quarterbacks ever in his prime right now. We must surround him with as many opportunities to win a championship every single year, or we haven't done our job. And I think that pressure is just obviously building every single year.
Would you go after a guy like Dez Bryant, say, for veteran effect? But, you know, I know Aaron Rodgers said, hey, look, we let go of Jordy Nelson. Why would we get Dez Bryant? I think Dez Bryant has as much athleticism still left in the tank as what Aaron Rodgers does. You just may get Dez Bryant for a lesser amount of money. And it was more of a business transaction than it was a dislike specifically of Jordy Nelson's ability.
Agreed. I would look into it with Dez, but I wouldn't go all into it. And here's why. Dez Bryant's already turned down a potential offer from the Baltimore Ravens, which makes me wonder how much of this is about what Dez still thinks he can do versus what other teams still think he can do. There's a reason he still doesn't have a job. There's a reason he's not signed. There's a reason that it might be a Cleveland Browns, an 0-16 team that he's looking at right now and wondering, do I fit there? And I think that's because Dez thinks he has more football left in him than other GMs do. And if Dez has a delusional self-belief in how good he is or how many balls he needs to get or what his role in the offense would be, that's where I'm worried. Do I think Dez can help a team? Yeah. Do I think he can help the Packers? Yeah. Do I think Aaron Rodgers makes Dez Bryant once again scary? Yeah. But if Dez thinks he's a one and Dez is going to demand more touches or more looks, if Dez is going to be combustible in the locker room, he's already lashed out of the Cowboys this offseason, I wonder if it's even worth it because he brings football to the table, but does he also create a negative if he's not playing the role that he believes he should?
Looking at this Packers defensively, this team, Mike Pettine comes in. He's expected to get them into the top 15. We talked about, you know, the need for something else like a Khalil Mack. Now, with Mike Pettine's scheme and what he's done in the past, do you think this team has the capability to get into the top 15 and support what the offense and Aaron Rodgers has going for it?
Yeah, I do. And it's because I've seen the NFL, as we all have, defenses that weren't the most talented defense rise into the top 15 on the backs of good offense and opportunistic play. If you create a few turnovers, especially in the secondary, if you can create a few interceptions on deflected passes at the line of scrimmage, if you get a strip sack and you recover a fumble, you automatically give your defense, which might not be a great defense, a chance to be in the top 15. In other words, Rodgers is healthy. The offense is clicking. They come out. They put up 13 points on the board in the first quarter. After a touchdown and two field goals, you're up 13-3. Well, now your defense takes some chances. Now the opposing offense, the quarterback, has to take some chances. Now maybe the opposing offense has pressure on them. They lose concentration and they fumble the football. And now suddenly your defense, which isn't necessarily great, plays downhill. It's happened time and time and time and time again. Teams that have middling defenses that the year before were no good have a great offense that helps out the defense look better than they actually are and masks it because you can play downhill and create turnovers. And let's say that there's seven drives you need to snuff out in a football game for the defense of the Green Bay Packers. If you force a punt on the first two and then you're up 17-7, you know what? You can get an interception or a strip sack, and before you know it, you're playing downhill the entire game, and now you're talking about forcing a punt because the team has to throw on 3rd-and-3 instead of run the football on 2nd-and-3. And that just changes everything. So, yes, I think it can happen. I don't think that's a huge ask for the Packers. And if Rodgers is healthy and this offense is right and additions like Jimmy Graham work, yeah, this Packers defense should be able to get in the top 15.
All right, before I let you go, got to ask you, who wins the NFC North and who represents the NFC?
I think it's the Vikings winning the NFC North. I just really like how that team is built, and I like the addition of Kirk Cousins. And I think with a better team around him, a better coach than he had in Washington, a better defense than he had with Washington, that Vikings team is going to be the best team of the division. I'm not convinced, though, they win the NFC, and I'll tell you why. I wonder about Cousins in pressure situations. I wonder about Cousins in an NFC championship game on the road in Los Angeles, on the road in Philadelphia. Does he make enough plays to get it done? I'm not ready right now before the preseason is over to declare the NFC champion yet, but I do like the Vikings as the best team in that NFC North. I think they end up winning 11 games, and that's enough to win the division.
D.A., it's always a pleasure, my friend. Love listening to you. Thanks for coming on for a couple of minutes. I appreciate it, okay?
My pleasure, Bill. Anytime, you know that. Enjoy the cheese curds for me, buddy.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. There you go, our buddy Damon Amendolara. He is with he's with CBS Sports Radio. I mean, he's the DA show. Come on. That's who it's named after. The DA show. Then you can listen to it on any CBS radio sports radio station and the radio.com app. You can find his stuff there. Always good to chat with him. He joined us on the Schneider Owens Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years of it going to get done. Call them 844-PRODUCT. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.